The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea, so let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called the Christian Journey. First, most of us have faith. The folly is when people say that they have faith, but they never use that faith. If that is the reality, then that person never really actually had faith, because genuine faith does not ever stop believing. Kind of like a country song, if you think about it. If the Lord of the universe knocked on your home door or your heart door, he would call you out by your name. What could be more significant than to be known by the King of the universe? What could be better than to see that he has all your information, good and bad, and still wants to spend eternity with you? Nothing can be better than that. And finally, one of our most significant searches in life has to do with finding security, finding safety, finding reassurance, finding well-being. We can find these and so much more for all of eternity, never ending, in our simple connection with Jesus.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. If you do that, david@hemustincrease.org, it'll come right here to my $1.19 Chromebook. You think, why do you keep saying it's $1.19? It's a cheap one. That's why. And it sits on my desk. In fact, I've often thrown this notebook. It's just does not hold the value. Sorry. You can also text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. When you call, Terrific T will answer the phone. It's like getting a big hug. It's like a big hug. Isn't that nice? You get a big hug, right? When she turns you over to me, it's like finding out you got a big hug from the wrong person. Like, whoops, that's not good. Anyway, if you've got a thought, an opinion, an idea, a concept, a question, something you want to share, you're welcome to do so. We try to encourage that. We do like praise reports because it's just a blessing for other people to hear what God is doing in other people's lives. And then if the Lord's teaching you something, you're growing in something, that's totally awesome. We also do the prayer requests live on the show. Why? Why not? You know, when people sit there and they say to you, and we've talked about this before, they say, well, don't forget, can you pray for me about this? Or don't forget to pray for me about this. Do you know the best time to pray for them is right then and there? Because otherwise you go home or you get in your car or you go wherever and you don't think much about it. And then they give you a little bit of an update, you know, down the road when they see you. And you get this update from them and you were like, I never even prayed. Don't do that. Don't be like that. Just pray for people on the spot. Even if they walk away, just pray in your heart right then and there. Always pray for them. Okay? All right. Trivia. We got somebody asking a question, right? Okay. Got somebody asking a question. So we're going to – should we do the trivia or should we ask the question first? All right. We'll do the question first. See, I have to check. I don't know what to do. See, this is why I have Terrific Tea. All right. Here we go. I'm going to answer this. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good afternoon, David. My name is Tom, and I am a loyal listener out on the road.
Hi, Tom. How are you doing? How is this Wednesday going for you?
It's going very well. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen, brother. All right. Do you have a question? If it's not too theological, I might be able to answer it.
Well, yes, I do have a question for you.
Fire away.
I would like your opinion about communion or the Lord's Supper. There are churches that offer the Lord's Supper weekly, every Sunday, or when they meet, and there are those assemblies that only offer it once a month or less frequently. What is your opinion and your studies tell you about that? And if possible, I'll hang up and listen to your response.
You got it. I'll be glad to do that for you. Okay? You got it.
Thank you, sir.
You are more than welcome. All right. So Tom asks an excellent question, and it's something that is in the framework of our Christian existence. There are two elements that we have, for the most part, historically agreed upon that give us distinguishment and elements in regards to our connection to the Lord and to the community. And that is baptism and what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. So the idea behind this is there is several groups, and I'm going to give you a couple of interesting statements and then kind of get into Tom's answer. There's a couple of groups that think that baptism should be a closed baptism, only open to the actual members of the individual church, and there's other groups that think that there should be an open baptism. It's not as though either group is trying to dishonor the Lord. Nobody's trying to do that in that process, but it does give people what it does tell you is that people read scriptures and come to different conclusions, not on the essentials, which is believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, he was buried, and 3 days later he rose again, believing that he's coming again, believing that faith is the vehicle which God has chosen. Those are essentials. But when it comes to whether it should be open baptism or closed baptism, that's not quite the same essential. Communion is equally important. You can't say one is more important than the other. Baptism is more important or communion is more important. They're equally important in connection to the community. However, the same system has come about where conclusionary, theologically, people have deduced that when you meet, as often as you meet, you should do this. Or other conclusions, other interpretations are, as often as you do this in remembrance of the Lord. So it's people reading the same verses coming to different conclusions. First and foremost, let me say, this should never be a matter of fellowship. You should never not fellowship with another Christian because you have a different approach or a different interpretation or understanding of communion or even of baptism or of eschatology. In other words, if you think it's premillennial dispensationalism, if you think it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, if you think it's amillennialism, you think of post-millennialism, those are never fellowship issues. Those are issues that you make a decision on, that you conclude in your heart and in your mind before the Lord, like we said before, Romans 14. So the question is, what is the most proper? And it's just like church government. There are portions of scripture that show church government is community oriented. There's portions of scripture that show it's presbytery oriented. There's portions of scripture that show it's apostles, prophets, and angels, pastors, and teachers oriented. So there's all these different styles. And the one that is right is the one that you can do before the Lord that you believe is proper and honoring before God. It cannot be a matter of fellowship, because when they start shooting Christians, they're not going to stop because one person does communion one way and one person does communion another way. But it will be a distinction if they don't actually believe in Jesus, or if they do actually believe in Jesus. That will be a distinction you can count on. So I think, and if I'm wrong, please forgive me, but I think many of the Church of Christ will do a weekly event oriented, like it's every week that they'll do a communion, whereas most Baptist churches, independent Baptist churches, Southern Baptist churches do that on more of a monthly basis. I think it should be done more often than not, but I'm not sure I agree with the camp that it's done too much where it can get abused, which is kind of what took place in Corinthians at the Corinth church. But the idea behind it is to do it in remembrance of the Lord, that he died on that cross, he was buried, and that he rose again. But that wine, quote unquote, and that unleavened bread represents the body and the blood of Jesus Christ and should be done honorably. By the way, there was terrific judgment against the church for doing it in a dishonorable fashion. Now, having said that, the real answer to Tom's question is you have to make that decision for yourself where you're fellowshipping, where your church is. Should never be an issue of division, but it is acceptable as historically in both contexts. In other words, over 2,000 years of history writing has given confidence for both sides to stand their ground. There's another part about that doesn't get discussed. You want to know what that is? In several churches, in Jerusalem and in the areas of Israel, you cannot do communion unless it's actually wine. You cannot do grape juice because they don't believe grape juice has the properties that wine has. You know what the answer to that is? If you're going to that church and your conscience is right before God and you believe that's correct, that's the way to go about it. I'm not sure it transfers that way. I'm not sure Jesus wanted everybody to down a little bit of wine. I'm not confident that's it, but I've done communion with wine and with grape juice and never felt like my conscience was tweaked one way or another. I felt like I was doing it as honorable unto the Lord. And I believe as the Lord examines us, that's what he's looking for. I'm not sure it's the frequency, but I am confident it is your attitude and spirit when it takes place. I hope that helps, Tom. It's not the perfect answer, but it's pretty much a radio talk show host answer, so I hope that's a blessing in some capacity. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, then we're going to just get into a whole bunch of stuff. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
Can't stand the guilt, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions, will not change them, Father won't change him. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm hoping and praying that would answer that we gave for Tom was somewhat sufficient. Probably not the best theological. I try to give you kind of more of a practical approach on that. One of my biggest issues that I have, so for those that don't know who are listening, I was born and raised Jewish. I went to private Hebrew school at Hillel Academy. All I'll tell you about that is the gym was a big spot of concrete.
Let's just say that wasn't the best gym in the world. Okay, I'm just being nice.
So I was bar mitzvahed. I went, I got saved. It was kind of a radical drug user for quite some time. I went forward and got a Baptist Pentecostal and Charismatic ordination, a BA degree in ministry and leadership, a master's degree in theological studies, and I'm doing my PhD doctorate in apologetics and theology. All that to say, some of these discussions have been going on for a long time. I mean, a long time. And it's not wrong to have the discussion. That therein lies some of the problem. The problem is the way that people dialogue nowadays is very curt and very mean and very, you know, whatever. It's never wrong to discuss it, to talk about it. In fact, all of our writings from our past about people trying to work things out, that's a big part of things. You know what I'm saying? That's a big part of how you, well, what does this mean and what does this mean and how do we work that out? And ultimately, people will come to different conclusions. And one of my biggest areas that I am in is there is amillennial, premillennial, and postmillennial, and I'm a manifold millennialist. And a lot of you are like, what's a manifold millennialist? Don't worry. College professors throughout the United States and Canada have asked me the exact same question. Okay? Manifold millennialists, there's a handful of us. Might be a nice way to say it. And that is that I think that all the principles of amillennial, postmillennial, and premillennialism are in play. And they seem to peak up at different times. In fact, there was a couple of really good books written on how the eschatology of humanity changes depending on the world economics. Boy, that's a scary thought, isn't it? Anyway, my point in saying all that is none of that should ever be a big issue of fellowship. If you hear me talking about Ray, Pastor Ray, one of my better friends, I adore Ray. He's fantastic. He's a very, very committed premillennialist. And he knows I'm a manifold millennialist. He has no bearing whatsoever. We fellowship completely fine. I hope he's right. Just in case you want to know how that goes. I hope he's 100% right and I don't even finish this show. That's what I hope. But I want to be ready the other side too, okay? That's why I appreciate Tom calling in and sharing that and giving that to us and asking that question because it's important. It's important for us to be able to discuss it and work it through. The biggest part about this is you've got to do this between you and the Lord because when you stand before God, the idea that he's going to go, well, you should have listened to this guy or you should have listened to this girl or you should have done this or you should have done this. I think the Lord knows you. He lives inside of you. I think that's going to be, you know, a big part of things. That's just kind of my take on it. Okay. Here's a fascinating question. Let's see if somebody can handle this one. There's our trivia question. The ark that Noah built, was 30 cubits high, 50 cubits wide, and how many cubits long? How long was it? And so if you want to translate that, 30 cubits is 45 feet, I believe. 50 cubits, I think, is 75. So it was 45 feet high, 75 feet wide. How long was it? You can give it to me in cubits or in feet. I don't care. Okay. That's the question. If you think you know the answer, that's a good one, right? That's a pretty good question. The answer is in Genesis 6, if you do not know, so you can go hunt it down. You can call 972-445-0770. Or you can text into 214-210-8483. We got somebody calling in. I love shows like this. I have a plan. I write it out. And then God goes, yeah, I got something else. I think that's the greatest thing. I think that's the greatest thing ever. I love stuff like that because it just it gives us that freedom. That's how we walk. That's how we exist. Okay. All righty. Do we get somebody asking the answer to the question? Okay, okay. Let me get this real quickly. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is your brother Ace.
Hey, brother Ace. How are you?
I'm doing fairly well. Need a little prayer for a little anxiety problems with my mental mind. But other than that, I think everything's great.
All right.
I could use prayers, yeah.
So you need prayer. Is it for health then?
Well, it's for a clear mind, a mind of peace.
Got it. I know that one very well.
In fact,
I was just reading the other day, and King David said something really fascinating in the Psalms in the New King James. He says, "I'm out of my mind." In other words, he couldn't get a grasp on it. And so it's good to know that other great, strong, wonderful believers go through the same kind of thing. So we'll definitely pray for you about that. All right, the trivia. Do you think you know the trivia question?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Okay. How many
cubits might be it?
Okay. Go ahead. Fire away.
Well, I just say cubits broken down to a foot and a half. Anyway, 300 cubits or 450 feet long, wasn't it?
That's correct, sir. That is the amount, 450 feet or 300 cubits. It's for those that are trying to figure it out, that'd be about a football field and a half. About a football field and a half. Which is pretty big.
Amen.
That's a pretty big one right there. All right, let me pray for you real quickly. Let me pray for you, man. I know exactly what you're talking about, exactly about the fog and sometimes how it gets a little tougher. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, not just for our great brother Ace, but for everybody in the audience too. Clarity of mind is an important part of us drawing closer to you, getting a better response to you, knowing what it is that you want. And sometimes the fogs come in. Sometimes it's health-related. Sometimes it's just spiritual. Sometimes it's even exhaustive. It does many different things that David talked about that you allowed us to see in Holy Writ. And we're asking right now for our brother Ace, in the name of Jesus Christ, that you would give clarity, that the Spirit of God would flow into his life, that his mind would be cleared. There'd be a peace. There would be a rest. Jesus, just like you spoke to the wind and the waves, you said to the winds, be quiet, and the waves, be still. Let that happen for him in his mind, and let him have all the clarity he needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you.
That's amen. Prayer. You got it, my brother. You absolutely right. have it. You yes. know I love you in the Lord, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. God bless
yes,
my brother.
God bless you and T. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye. All right. Love Brother Ace. Just great guy. All right. I got to teach something, people. It wasn't like I wasn't teaching. I'm just saying. Okay. All right. You've heard 100 messages on Easter, right? I mean, come on. Who hasn't heard them, right? You'll be lucky if you hear 100 more. Let me do this 1 Corinthians portion real quickly. It's relatively not just important, but key. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. So what do we know about this first right off the bat? Well, we receive it. You don't earn it. You receive it, right? You receive it. For those that are like, well, it doesn't say receive. Okay. Receive it. And then you take your stand on it. You take your position. You don't move. The gospel saves you and keeps you. Same thing. It does both things. Verse 2, by this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain. In other words, you can't believe and then stop believing. That's not even an actual faith. The same believeth is the believeth. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that whosoever believeth, continually believing, It's not continually working. It's continually believing the same thing you believed when you got saved. I believe it. I believe it. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. In other words, you did it for nothing. That was a kind of a joke. Verse 3, for what I received I passed on to you as of first importance. I always like it when he says stuff like that. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. That's number one. That he was buried. That's number two. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. That's number three. Wow. Here it is. Ready? That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. What did he die for? Our sins. According to the scriptures foretold. That he was buried. Okay? He died. I mean, let's just get that straight. I mean, I think that's the effect of that. And that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. By the way, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that lives inside of you right now. Same power. Same Holy Spirit. Same. Not different Holy Spirit for Jesus than it is for you. That's the gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes, continual action, believes, the continual action, perfect present tense in the Greek, believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. I know we want to make it about 15,000 other things. I get it. I understand it. The Pharisees did that, by the way. That's how they came up with the Talmud. That's how they came up with all the Mishnahs and all the other elements, because you had the law. And they said, well, we got to keep a bubble around this so it's further away from the law. And then we got to keep a bubble away from that so it's further away from the law. And then we got to keep a bubble around that so it's further away from even getting close to the law. People have been doing that for years. Here's the bottom line. Christ died for our sins, according to the scripture. He was buried, and he was raised again on the third day. That's the gospel. It's us that's making it more complex. All right, we're going to take a break and come back. I got so much more. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
On the phone with us today, our privilege to have Kirk Cameron, who is coordinating the conference for Love Worth Fighting For, a marriage event. Kirk, are you with us?
I'm here.
I'm glad.
I'm here. How are you? Thanks for having me on your show.
It's my privilege to have you on the show. I'm glad you're joining us. I got to tell you, here's something that nobody knows in all the world except for my wife. When you did the movie Fireproof in the 2008 period, it is the only movie in my entire life, and I'm in that post-50 category. It's the only movie in my entire life that I gave to other friends as long as I've been alive because I thought it would be beneficial for their marriage. It was truly an inspirational movie that, in my marriage, it's a great marriage. It just encouraged me to make it that much greater.
Oh, man, that's great to hear. That encourages me a lot. And I've heard other people have said that as well. And, you know, my hat goes off to the guys who wrote the script and the church that made the movie. And I was really honored to be a part of it.
Yeah, you did a great job, man. I really got to tell you, man. I know there's you got things that you grow up with and you did things with it. But that kind of stuff where you have an opportunity and you were able to play a character that really conveys, hey, at times in marriage, there's a struggle, but there's this promise from the Lord. There's this capacity from the Lord to have a marriage that gets better and better as long as you're in it and not sitting on the outside watching it.
Right, right on, man. I often say that marriage never fails. Marriages do not fail. People fail. God made the universe. He made it perfect, and we introduced some sin, selfishness, death, destruction into it, and we do the same with marriage. It's perfect, and then we allow bitterness, unforgiveness to creep in and stay there. So what the Love Worth Fighting For event is all about, what Fireproof is all about, and by the way, Love Worth Fighting For, our marriage event, grew out of the Fireproof movie. It basically takes the movie and turns it into a live event, and we bring it to your church, and we talk about those kind of things, is how to resurrect a marriage that has been damaged by selfishness and by bitterness, and where do you find joy and hope and healing? God gives us the capacity for those things, and we talk about where you find it.
Sometimes
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I like stuff like this. It just bounces all over. I don't know. I don't know if that's a sign of an ill mind. maybe a little bit. All right, trivia. Let's get our next trivia question, okay? How you doing, T? You doing pretty good? You doing all right? All right, here we go. Some angels were sent to speak with Lot. Remember this in Genesis? How many were there? How many angels? Okay. Now, see, if you ask this question in California right now, there'd be a lot of people going, well, I don't know how many people are on the team. Wrong thing. Okay. So, angels came to speak with Lot. How many angels were there? How many? Okay, there's a specific answer. We'll get to that. And somebody's already calling in. And it's a straightforward-y kind of thingy. Okay? All right. We've got many. I've got the history and I've got the joke. I don't know if I'm going to get the Greek or the Hebrew word in, although it's a good Hebrew word, but we're going to see. Let's see. Somebody's going to answer the question? Yes? Okay, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, David. This is Al. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing real well, sitting here in traffic in Saginaw, Texas.
Is that good that you're sitting there in traffic? Is it construction or is it just traffic?
Who knows? It's probably just traffic. You know, in a few minutes, it'll probably just open up, and I'll just be able to start driving 60 or 70 again, and not know why I was backed up. So,
you know, I gotta tell you this before you answer the question. In California, if there was a mop on the side of the road, that's good for a 2-hour backup. It's like, wow, it's so bad. It was just like, wow, it's a mop.
That's funny.
Yeah. All right,
got to slow down and look at it.
Yeah, it's amazing. All right, here we go. How many angels are we talking about? This coming out of Genesis 19. How many angels spoke with Lot?
I want to say there were three.
Okay, but if you minus one, what would it be?
That must be two.
That's correct. That's right. Now the three number comes from the engagement that took place with Abraham. You know, it's probably what you're thinking, but there were two. And so when you get into Genesis 19, and that's really that's the one I'm pulling off of, just so you can know. So the Genesis 19:1 is I don't want to say kind of specific. Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting at the gate in Sodom. So that would be
okay.
That would be the answer. You know what I really like? What Eric
gotcha.
Did. Eric was listening, and he said three, and then we corrected it to two, and then he wrote two.
Did you think I said three?
I think you said two. Excellent job, brother. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good day.
All right. God bless.
Love you, brother.
All right. Bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye. All right. We're just having one of those shows. It's just one of those shows. Just have a good time. Enjoy yourself and smile and pray that the Lord comes back before I finish. That's all I keep doing. I've got a joke, but I probably should wait. Should I wait? Or should I do the history? Which one do you want to do? All right, do history? Okay, let's do history, and then we'll wait on the joke. The joke's not that funny.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, a couple classics on this one. Today is Bunsen burner day. Did you guys use Bunsen burners when you were in school?
Yes.
Okay, so that you notice that. Today is National Crayon Day. You can't go wrong with National Crayons, you know, like, you know. Crayons you color with?
Oh, I don't know why I thought you said crayons, like C.
Like cransberry? Or
yeah.
Something? Okay. You're not getting enough sleep. Okay.
I don't know if I'm losing it. I really thought you said crayons. I was like, what is crayons?
All right, now watch this. You got like National Tater Day. Okay, tater. Okay, like taters, potatoes.
See, and I thought you said cater.
What's going on over there? You get enough oxygen in that room?
I don't think I do.
All right. National Little Red Wagon Day. Okay. Can't go wrong with a little red wagon, especially remember the radio flyer that most of us had or borrowed from other kids in the neighborhood and never returned it. On this day in 1918, daylight savings time went into effect for the first time in the United States. So that's 103 years ago. Now, notice all the states that turn back their clocks, right? Except for Arizona. I lived in Arizona for 20 years, so I can say this. Not everybody was smart enough to turn the clock backwards or forward. That's all I'm going to say. 1992, television news program Dateline NBC premiered. 1993, they did their first lie segment where they lied about it. 1943, Oklahoma. Remember the musical Oklahoma is probably a little bit before your time. It's one of the first musicals I saw. No Oklahoma where the wind comes sweeping down the plain. Okay. And that's pretty much it, except for 1889, the Eiffel Tower was inaugurated. At that point, it was the tallest building in the world, or tallest man-made structure at 984 feet. Okay? Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah, we really need the money, so we need to do the website. Let's do the website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, David, at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Notice how I figure out when we should do the website or not. We're really low. That's so bad. All right. Let's do this portion. This is a shorter portion, and I just want to point this out to you. This has to do with Easter, but it has to do with Easter for many important reasons. Ephesians 6:15, believe it or not, with your feet fitted with the readiness from that comes from the gospel of peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. To us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And what did Jesus say when he came into the room with the disciples after the resurrection? Peace. Peace. Because in our society, there is so much noise and so much confusion. There is. And it's amazing. And we've mentioned this before, and we'll mention it again. So in the news, you know, the premise is, if it bleeds, it leads. They want you to be captivated by the most engrossed things. That's how they keep your eyeballs. People can't get their eyes off of a train wreck. You just can't stop looking. It's just part of that fallen nature. And it's all this noise and all this confusion and all this pollution in the air. And I ain't talking about candy wrappers. I'm talking about real pollution as God defines it. And the reality check in this is that Jesus comes and offers us a gospel of peace. The major message to his boys after he returned was peace. Now, I choose to think of it this way, and you can get mad at me because I do this. I kind of take what Jesus went through with them and kind of move it up to our time. Right? I think Jesus went in the room, and if they were using our language, he would have said, chill out. That's what I think he would have said. Chill, everybody. Calm down. Right? And the reason is because we get uptight and we get really uncomfortable and we don't know how to define it. And some people don't know what to do on it, and then they get really frustrated. And that's not abnormal. I don't want you to think that you're being abnormal or anything. That's a normal part of the process of the human being. But Jesus comes and offers something better. Okay? I mean, that's one of our bumper stickers, right? Well, it's not actually our bumper sticker yet, but I have a bumper sticker that says, as a doctor of ministry, I prescribe gospels. I mean, that's just funny. But the idea behind that is that it's the gospel of peace. And all this stuff you got going on, calm it down. Take it down a notch. And everybody, and I will say this of myself and to you, and please do not be offended. It is not intended to offend you. But, you know, we talked earlier in the first 30 minutes of the show about that we're like the flower in the field. It's like it's there, it's gone, boom. Everybody thinks that the world can't get along without you. Wrong. It's like, boy, that's mean. I'm not trying to be mean. The world can't get along without God. It can get along without us. I mean, it's just a... But we are blessed because God has chosen us and wants to fellowship with us. Oh, okay. You think that you have created your own worth. It's like the greatest thing about us is that the greatest thing in us is because of God. And the good in us is because of God. And he gets the credit and the glory. And to put it in the way of the early fathers, we get to go along for the ride. Okay. I'm totally okay with that. And the idea or the audacity of, man, well, we're going to tell God what we think. You know, who are you to? And it's like, can you imagine? Nobody's ever going to do that ever. Nobody's ever going to talk back to God at the great judgment day. Nobody's going to say a word. I want to go for the ride. I'm good for that. I want to hang out with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yep, good for me. I'll have a mansion. I'll have streets of gold. Pfft, no more sorrow. I'm in. Where do I sign? That's how I look at it. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. All of mankind, destroying
everyone and everything we find. What is the David Spoon Experience?
So I want other people's insight because I'm not the only person that knows. It could be, hey, we want to, you know, talk more about current events, or hey, we want to talk more about good places to eat in Texas, or hey, we want to talk about, you know, who's got the best pizza, or we could stop talking about food because I'm really hungry and I'm waiting to do a barbecue at my son's house tonight. So, you know, it's that kind of stuff that's going on. All right, so let's get the next trivia question in, and then we'll go from there. The next trivia question is a little easier question, I think, than the previous questions. How many days was Saul, before he became Paul, how many days was Saul blind in Damascus? How many days was he blind in Damascus? Ooh. So he was, remember, he was on his donkey, and then the Lord went, bam! And then he was no longer on his donkey, but on his rear side, and then he went over to Damascus. How many days was he there, and how many days was he there blind is kind of the question that we're asking, okay? All right, and then the last time I'm going to say this again, Paige, I'm really sorry. I said I want to give this word of the day sent out in honor of Pam, and I said Pam instead of Paige. Paige, I'm sorry. As you imagine my wife, how many times I gotta say sorry? All right, anyway, what do we got? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear David. Happy birthday to you. This is Joy, and this is Cordy.
You guys are great! I love you guys!
and we know the answer.
What's the answer to the trivia question?
Three.
That is correct! Yes! That is correct! Man, did you guys do it. You hit it out of the park. That's going to have to get captured and replayed on a regular basis. Excellent job, ladies.
You.
Oh, you're so great.
We love you and celebrate you and keep teaching.
You got it. Okay. Yes. God bless. Good job. Good job, Cordy. Good job, Cordy. Good job, Joy. Excellent work.
Thank you.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? Or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio? Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where you never know if one of our plays is just going to be a clip from an old show. That was so good. It was Cordy and Joy singing Happy Birthday. That was fantastic. And then we had more than one person answer the trivia question, even though it was an answered trivia question. It's still a good one. You know what I'm saying? Still a good one. All right, here's our last trivia question. Wait, where'd the book go? Here's our last trivia question for today, okay? Not a difficult one, kind of an interesting one, though. What was the name of the person in the Bible whose handkerchief was used to heal people? Used a hanky, okay? Used a handkerchief to heal people. Who was that? Who was that? Who was that? Not who was that masked man. Who was that who used a handkerchief? You know, that's, boy, talk about going out there. That is, boy, that is outside the lines, right? What person in the Bible were we talking about that used a handkerchief, sent a handkerchief, and it brought healing? Okay? While you're answering that, by the way, the number here is 972-445-0770. If you want to call directly to the show, or you can text in 214-210-8483. Eric will get the credit for being the first on the board on this one. I have a joke. You ready? You got the buzzer ready? Yeah? Yes? Okay. Now, you have to be patient with this one, because I got to do it right. I got to say it right. All right? An elderly woman walked into the local country church. The friendly usher greeted her at the door and helped her up the flight of steps. "Where would you like to sit?" he asked politely. "The front row, please," she answered. "You really don't want to do that," the usher said. "The pastor is really boring." "Do you happen to know who I am?" the woman inquired. "No," he said. "I'm the pastor's mother," she replied indignantly. "Do you know who I am?" he asked. She said, "No." He said, "Good." Come on, that's pretty good. Good. Not too shabby, right? Come on.
That was good. That was good.
It was cute. I had that moment, right? All right. Okay. All right, people. Last of it. If you don't call in, I'll have T just remind me to give the answer. What was the person in the Bible whose handkerchief was used to heal people? You're looking at the book of Acts, and boy, I think that's the wrong reference. I think it should be Acts 19, because I think they gave the wrong reference there. All right, anyway, who was that? If you know, let me know. You can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30 says the following: "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." We'll answer that call, and then we'll finish this text and go from there. "My Father, I have given them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." So we'll do it again. You know, going to kind of go over it again. Okay, person ready to answer the question? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Rosie.
Hi, Rosie. How are you?
Fine, and you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for asking. All right, this is a classic question, kind of like a little more bizarre in our realm, but not in the Bible realm. What was the name of the Bible person whose handkerchief was used to heal people?
Was it Paul?
That is correct. You are right.
All right.
Yeah, good job on that one. Did you kind of know right away? Because you got that one really special verse, and it's like, it's really unique that it talks about Paul doing that. Was that something you just kind of like, oh, yeah, I remember that. I knew that.
Yes, I remembered it.
Yeah, it's such a classic. It's got an Acts 19, 11, and 12. It's like he used handkerchiefs or aprons, and they brought from his body to the sick people, and the disease left them, and evil spirits went out of people like, wowzer. That's amazing stuff.
Right.
Just
amazing.
You just want to see that power now, don't you?
Yes.
Good job. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. God bless. Bye bye. All right. The Apostle Paul. Yeah. See, in my book it said Acts 9, and it was like, that's wrong. I knew it was wrong. It was like, because I was almost. Almost would have been it's 19. So it's Acts 19, 11, and 12. All right, let me get back to this text. John 10, 27 through 30. Yes, I know I'm a smarty pants. Leave me alone. Let me tell you what my mom used to say. Better to be a smarty pants than a dummy pants. Okay. You like how I Christianized that? That was good. John 10, 27 through 30. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. First and foremost, it's really kind of important to understand for all of us that Jesus is the great shepherd. And we are his sheep. And I know that that people don't like that principle. I think in our current culture, they don't like the idea of being sheep and so on and so forth. But the reality check is if God, split heaven wide open and kind of just came on the earth, everybody would be a sheep before him. I mean, in the sense of being a smaller animal. Now, there's goats. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about people that love the Lord. You're one of his sheep. Okay. If you go veering off in the wrong direction, he's got a staff. The staff can either be used to pull you back by the neck or to crank one of your legs or to poke you or whatever it is that the staff is for. Or he just drops the staff and then the sheep looks at it and goes, hey, I'm not going that way, and then goes another way. Here's the key. What he says is, I know them and they follow me. It's not that sheep always follow the shepherd perfectly. I've never met a sheep that in real life sheep or in believers that do this perfectly. But I know one thing about the shepherd, and that is he knows us. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them. And he knows where we're strong and where we're weak. He knows what we do really well in and what we do poorly in. He knows when we're killing it, like really, just really in the kingdom. And he knows when we're killing it really in the flesh. Okay. He doesn't abandon us. He won't let anybody take us from him. No one will snatch them out of my hand. They're never going to perish. I give them eternal life. You can't earn it. He gives it. You have to receive it. And then he compares himself. This is where you get into the great theologies. My Father who's given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Okay? And for those that say, well, Jesus never claimed he was God, that's why the Jews tried to kill him, because he claimed that he was equal to God. That was the whole point. The idea behind this is simple. Jesus knows who you are. He knows you're good and he knows you're bad. He has given you eternal life. You'll never perish. Nobody's going to take it away from you. Now, you can walk a little far out, and if you walk too far out away from the 99, the story is that the shepherd will go get you. But you're in him, with him, in his fold. He loves you. Instead of letting it all just bog down, I really believe this in my heart. I believe this with all that I teach with and share with and talk about, if we would take a few moments and really focus on this love that he has for us, it would drown out all the dreck. And that is one of the great things that our shepherd speaks to us, is he loves us. I do. I just want to say, just so you know, I do as many, if not twice as many, dumb things as everybody else. I am absolutely a sinner saved. Okay, I just say no anything about that. I am a sinner, but saved. I am not only not perfect, I am a lot less perfect than a lot of people. But I love him because he loves me. And that's what keeps me going. That's what sustains me. Not that I do it well. Oh, I love to teach. It's fun. And I think it's a blessing for a lot of people. It's a blessing for me to do it. But I don't do the walk the way that some of these great men and women of God have done. I just walking it along and loving it and loving on everybody the best we can. And in that process, I hear his voice every once in a while, and it makes me think, I am so blessed that I know him. In fact, I cannot imagine going through this world without him. That would be such a drag. That would be why I medicated before. And if I went through this world without him, I'd medicate again 24/7. And so I greatly appreciate that he's my shepherd. And he speaks. Remember, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. How awesome is the gospel? It's like, yes! It's like winning the lottery every day if you really get it. Get it? I hope so. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.